Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
All right, now back with us and making his seventh appearance on the Kyven Foods guest line is former defensive back and TNT Hall of Famer, Vincy Glenn. Let me remind you about Vincy's background. He is from Grambling, Louisiana, played his college ball at Indiana State, where he holds the school record for career interceptions with 17 and the record for the longest interception return for a touchdown of 100 yards, which he did versus Wayne State back in 1984. In 85, he was named first-team All-American for Division I AA, as well as first-team All-Missouri Valley Conference. That year, he was also named the Missouri Valley Conference Defensive Player of the Year. He was inducted into the Indiana State Hall of Fame back in 1999. He was a second-round draft pick by the New England Patriots in 1986, and he played defensive back in the league from 86 to 1995 for the Patriots, Chargers, Vikings, and Giants. Over the course of his career, he had 642 tackles, 35 interceptions, recovered 9 fumbles, and he scored 3 touchdowns. And I've shared this story every time Vincy has joined us because it's my favorite Vincy Glenn story. It always will be. But last year, I had the privilege of walking the grounds at Augusta National with Vincy. And I'm not exaggerating, folks, when I say that we couldn't go 10 yards without someone giving Vincy a hug or shaking his hand. And at one point, I said to Vincy, "You know everybody." And he looked at me and said, "No, Chris, everybody knows me." Good evening, Vincy. How are you, my friend?
Chris Mascaro, how are you, pal?
Fantastic. How are you, Vince?
It's good to be on again with you guys.
Nah, I appreciate you. So, Vincy, you played 5 years for the Chargers, and you've lived there for a long time. This is the first football season since 1961 that San Diego doesn't have a team to root for. How are people dealing with life without pro football in San Diego this year?
It's very different. You don't even really think about pro football on the weekend, as sad as that is. Unless you're playing fantasy football or something. But as far as, you know, day to day, you just kind of just accepted the fact that it wasn't going to be no football here, with no sense of waking up, with no sense of ordering tickets and things like that. And so I don't know how for everybody else, but, you know, you kind of get acclimated. You know, it's like when they take your favorite toy away from or it break and you have it no more, it's just like, okay, you learn to deal with it. But, you know, hopefully the league will see that this is a great city, which it is. And if you look, go all around the league and you ask guys, did they love playing in San Diego? It won't be one football player to say, I didn't love playing football in San Diego on a Sunday. So hopefully the league will get a team back here. And as you see, they're struggling up in L.A. Tremendously. And there it is.
Yeah, to that point, Vince, do you think, you know, that there's a chance that the Chargers actually come back to San Diego, and if they did, how would the people react to the return?
I don't think if they came back, they definitely wouldn't be under the same ownership. That would never happen. I think they would have sold the team by then to someone else, and they would probably move them back and try to negotiate for a stadium and do things the correct way, hopefully, and keep football great in San Diego, which it has always been. You know, you got a lot of great guys that are currently in the Hall of Fame. Outside, you know, got chances to go to the Hall of Famer that are active players now that live in San Diego. So San Diego's a love spot for athletes that just want to come, especially after their career and live. But it's just a great place to be during your career as well.
Bob, questions for Vincy?
Great to speak with you as usual, Vincy. And talking about San Diego, I think I talked to somebody last week about Junior Seau. I'm not sure who it was, but they were talking about when he came into the league, and looking at your old teams, you were right there when he came into the league. I wanted to get your first impressions of him. And Vince, did you have the idea that this guy would have a motor like none other throughout his career, like he did?
You know, to be honest, back then you looked at rookies like rookies, you know, but yeah. You knew he was special. He had an intensity level. He had an intensity level to learn the game and to be there for his teammates and get to the ball. You know, I always tell people that defense is pretty easy. You got two jobs they ask you to do on defense. Get to that ball as fast and as violently as you can. And that's all the coach asks you to do every play. Wherever that ball go, you get to it as fast as you can and violent. And so, you know, if you got that kind of tenacity in you and you love the game the way he did and a lot of people that played it, then you won't have no problem picking it up and love doing what you do.
And Betsy, Chris and I were talking before you came on about, the game could be easy, but if you're a defensive back and the line is not rushing the quarterback as what's happening in New England right now, it can't be good for defensive backs. Did you ever run into this in your career, Vency, and how did you handle something like this? It must be very frustrating.
I got to be honest with you. I've never played on a defense that didn't have pass rushes. San Diego, Minnesota, we were great. Even in New York, I had Michael Strahan. So I never really play with anybody that couldn't get to the quarterback. And I don't think in my career, on all the defenses I played with, I was worse than maybe 15 or 16. So, you know, I was always in the top echelon. I played on two number one defenses in my 10 years. So, you know, I really didn't have that problem, but I know it is a problem. Now, there were games where we weren't as efficient on the D line and you struggle a little bit, especially to get against great quarterbacks, you know, but, you know, Joe Montana made everybody feel like you didn't have a pass rush because he got rid of the ball so quick. So sometimes there's nothing the D-line can do when you got a quarterback that knows where he wants to go with the ball.
Hey, Vincey, you played for, a handful of teams during the course of your NFL career. Who was the best defensive coordinator you ever played for?
Well, you know I'm biased. I'm going to say Tony Dungy. But if you go back down the list of the coordinators I played for, I played for Ron Land my first 4 years, 5 years, and yeah, I think he was a good defensive coordinator, especially when it came to man and blitzing and things like that. And then I had the fortune of being with Tony Dungy, and that was just phenomenal experience there. And then I had Mike Nolan in New York. So I've always had some pretty high character defensive coordinator, some very smart, intelligent guys, too.
And talk about your relationship with Coach Dungy. I mean, it goes beyond the X's and O's with him, doesn't it?
Yeah. He's been like a mentor to me since I was in college, and then having the opportunity to play for him and just gain that life wisdom over those 3 years in Minnesota. Not necessarily, you gain so much football knowledge, but the life things that you learn about carrying yourself as a young man and the things, the way you want to be portrayed and the things how you want people to perceive you and the things you want to do in life, you know? So, and he was good at that. And he's always, and there's not a player that ever played for him wouldn't tell you that. And he makes men out of boys and grown men out of men, you know, and he's just a joy to be around and a great human being.
And Vincey, I feel like that trickles down, right? Because you talk to a lot of young people, right? Kids, you spend a lot of time talking with those folks, whether they're young players or just, you know, young kids in school. And I think one of the things you talk to them about is how to carry yourself. Talk about the message that you try to, you know, portray or give to young people when you're speaking to them.
Well, you know, Chris, it's not rocket science. You are who you are. And you can think people perceive you any way, but they're going to perceive you the only way they want to. And that's how you are to them and what you mean to them in their lives. So, you know, you want to go out and be the best teammate you can be on and off the field. You want to be the best guy you can be on and off the field. So, you know, it's no Superman mentality. I always say, whoever you are before you go put on the uniform, you're the same person, you know, during the game. And if you can function with things on your mind and other situations outside of football and can focus for those 3 hours and give the coaches and owners what they want and your teammates what they deserve, then you can function and play in that game. But, you know, life is hard. It starts, and these kids that make it to the NFL, you know, they've struggled. They come from struggles. Not all of them. Some don't come from struggles, but a lot of them come from struggles. So they appreciate how they got there and understand that there were certain people who opened paths for them to get there.
And Vincey, you know, we try to keep everything on the positive side here on the show, and we're seeing a lot of what we're seeing in football, at least at the beginning of football games, is starting to become a little political, right? Whether it's teams kneeling or whatever they're doing, it seems like we're starting to get politics into our football. And in football, and I was talking about this with Jeff Arad, former Colts linebacker, a couple of days ago. You know, football has always been on Saturdays for college football or Sundays with pro football, a way for all of us to come together. Right, you look around stadiums, and it's every nationality, race, creed, color, whatever you want to call it. You know, everyone's sort of coming together, and it's been a place where people get together and they tailgate before games. They have friends and relatives over, to watch the games at their house, and have cookouts and all that. It's always been, to me, it's always been a way for people to come together, and now we're starting to get politics involved in that, and it feels not so good. What are your thoughts? How do you feel about what's going on around
here's what I see, and this is just strictly my opinion. Colin Kaepernick did something last year that he felt strongly about, and your constitutional rights you have, just like the Second Amendment. So we can argue about what's right and what's wrong all day, but now this year with certain things and certain having the right to be more vocal about your stance and things like that. And the world has become political with this last election here in the United States and all the different things that have gone on. When you have the president of the United States talking about individuals in certain sports and saying what the sport should do to them, that's not what sports is all about. That's not what these athletes have ever had to deal with. This is not what fans want to deal with when they look at a football game. They want to get away from all that Monday through Friday stuff. So a lot of this is political and been brought on by the politicians, using professional sports as a target to gain eyes and to gain ears and to gain controversy, I think, and that's what has happened. And if you look at the quarter game, those guys love the military. Those guys probably got all kind of relatives and friends in the military and things like that. So it's not the NFL against the military losing respect and all that thing. I think that's why it gets blown out of proportion. I think if you focus on the game is good. But if they didn't show you the national anthem before the game, then you wouldn't even know what the players did. That was a time they really didn't even show that before a game. Now they are, news and media, and if they're showing it. They want to show it. They want to talk about it. They want to bring it up. They want it on the Today Show. Because if you don't want to see that stuff, they don't even have to air it before the game. They don't have to show that. They don't have to get in front of everybody's face and just go down the line. Only people at stands would see that. So it's not just the players. Everybody want to put it on the players, but there's a lot of people that's egging this on and keeping it going. The players aren't coming out speaking on it. They're just doing what they're allowed to do. And they go play football and they go home and try to win another football game. So it's really not the players that aren't doing nothing but kneeling or standing during the national anthem. And okay, we can sit here and have a debate and want to get off, but I think there are way more important issues going on in the world. You got Texas, then you got Florida, then you got Puerto Rico, now you got Las Vegas. I think we got a way lot more issues in this country going on than worry about if somebody standing and sitting at an NFL game when people are there for luxury anyway, because they can afford to be there and enjoy themselves. So I just think it's just blown out of proportion. I think it's a message there, and it's a message that, people don't want to talk about, and it's always been that same message. So, everybody's going to have their opinion on it. Just keep playing the game and let the game speak for itself. And come Super Bowl, they won't be talking about it anymore.
Bob Moore for Vincey.
Yeah, Vince, I just wanted to get back to the current game. And as far as defensive backs, I have no horse in the race here, but I still see that these offensive guys are pushing off so much these days. And it's usually the defensive guys that get caught a lot on the rebound, so to speak. But as far as the defensive backs coming in the league, Vincey, I know they're bigger than they were when you came in the 80s, but are these guys as fundamentally sound as you guys were?
Oh, absolutely not. Because you don't have to be. You're at every route that an offensive guy runs is just running away from you. You know what I'm saying? It's always combo with somebody running through a zone or your guy just running takeoffs and sitting in the hole and things like that. So you really have to understand the schematics of the of the offense to kind of, you know, get a head up and jump on. But then if you're even a little out of position or anything, you can't hit a guy. You got to almost like try to think about where can I hit him without them even throwing a flag or a penalty, without hurting my team. So you're out there thinking about all this stuff. And that's why you see so many guys throw elbows, try to grab the running backs and all them, and they get head slapped and stiff-armed and look embarrassed on national TV because they're defenseless. They're really defenseless in football as a defensive back. You really have to look at the guy the other night, Trevathan. The guy's running the ball, gets spun around into him, and they get this guy saying that he coming in targeted. And I'm like, oh, he was coming in to make a tackle. The guy gets spun around. That's football. That's getting caught. That's just the game. And if you start finding guys just for running to the ball and trying to tackle a guy at a point that he thought he can hit him clean and he gets spun into him, what is that? I mean, it's just like somebody grabs you and spins you around and the other guy tattoos you. And they like, okay, you did that. No, I didn't. He came to me. So it's so fast of a game, and they're trying to make you slow down and think about what you're going to do at that speed, and it just doesn't work. That's why all these guys are getting hurt. Shoulders, and they knock themselves out because now they're trying to, like, can't hit a guy with full force and just trying to throw a quarter of their body, like a shoulder, into him. You know, man, you're going to get knocked out with these dudes. Tight ends, 265. You know, wide out, 6'4", 215, 220. You know, and you're sitting up here trying to play pity pat. It's tough, man. It's tough being a defensive back. They push off more than anything. They head slap you more than anything, and you can't touch them, bro. So I'm all for the DBs, you know, but they're just making the game to the point where, you know, because after every flag, if the guy that after every play, if the receiver doesn't catch it, what does he jump up? Pass interference. They looking for flags or the fans yelling, pass interference. So everything's either pass interference, and look how many pass interference calls we're getting, holding calls. It's way up nowadays. Just sorry.
So, Fancy, before we let you go, remind our listeners, you know, I mean, you're such a positive influence. That's why we love you so much. You know, everything about you is on the positive side
it.
And the way you carry yourself. Remind them, you know, how they can, you know, stay up to date with what you're doing. Is there a way for them to follow you on social media? Because you're one of the best.
I got my Facebook always open and my Messenger. And what's your cell number, Chris? We can give them your cell number and call Chris Mascaro. At 888, we find Vincy, and
that's right.
And he'll hook you up, and he'll get you in touch with me. No, but that's about it, Chris. You know me; I've always said, you know, I'll do the messaging in the Facebook, and if I feel need be that we need to continue that conversation outside the realms, it's great. But I'm not into Twitter and those things. I don't knock it. Don't get me wrong. I don't knock it, but it's just not a B. Glenn thing now.
Well, Fancy, thank you so much for taking time out of your night to come back on the show. It's, you know, it's easy to see why you're one of our Hall of Famers, because we love, you know, every minute that we get to spend with you is a treasure, and we can't thank you enough for coming back as often as you have and being such a great friend to not only to the show, but to both Bob and I off the air as well. You're certainly one of our very favorites, and we can't thank you enough for everything you've done for us.
Well, I appreciate you, man. Appreciate everything you do for the armed services and for the fans and the people that listen to these great stories that you allow, you know, people around the country to hear these and share these great stories that these athletes have. But also, I want to let you know, I'll see you in a couple of weeks. I'll be in the ATL on the 22nd. So let's have an adult beverage and talk about it a little more.
Absolutely. I look forward to that. You know that. So call me when you're in town, my friend. And between
I will,
now and
man.
Then,
all right, Bob,
care,
you
brother.
Be good as well. Yep, you got
you. Take it
thanks,
easy.
Bro.
Thank you, Vincent.